if you could just tell me, what inspired you to start your company and what's the story behind the name?
Pipiguan Petiguan is an Indigenous-owned public relations and engagement agency. And growing up as an Indigenous person, as we all encounter that no one knows the true history between Canada and ourselves. And my parents and my grandparents and family were all very involved in supporting community in some way or working with community. When it came to having a career, I always knew I wanted to be a writer, but I decided that people really needed our people specifically needed access to storytellers who knew how to access the media and navigate that world and amplify those stories and truths on the resources available. There just was no one really doing that. There were people that were trying, but the problem with a lot of PR firms is they're expensive, and it's kind of like a lawyer. You have access to these things. You can control the narrative of your story. And I think that was just really important to me. You know, you start having to become this hub of information for non-Indigenous people, and it's exhausting. So yeah, we wanted to do that, and then also to help non-Indigenous people who want to work meaningfully with us. So the name Pipiguan Petiguan means eagle bone whistle heard loudly, and so the eagle bone whistle is used in certain ceremonies to wake the ancestors. So it's a pretty cool big name for us, and...
You work a lot with AI and you've developed some solutions around it or are continuing to do that. How do you see AI supporting Indigenous kind of community-led solutions?
I think there's so much opportunity because there aren't a lot of us involved in this space right now. And the way I see it is if we had a do-over when all of these systems were being built in Canada and we could have inserted ourselves and we could have said, this is how we should build the judicial system. This is how we should plan to build a city, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
I think we would take that opportunity. And what people don't understand, I think, is that this is actually becoming and is a critical piece of infrastructure. It's a technology. But this piece of infrastructure will touch every aspect of your lives. It already touches so many aspects of our lives, and it's making decisions that impact us. And the scary part about AI that I would say is that it doesn't know who Indigenous people are. Just it's worse than the general Canadian. And so that's why we're involved. We want it to know who we are. We want it to know the true history so it's not basing its decisions off colonial data and misinformation. And so where the other opportunity is, it's a very, very resource heavy tool. If we get involved now, we can help guide how should we be using AI right now. It's a baby.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have access to all these resources it doesn't need yet, because we shouldn't be using it so freely until it actually has good data. So I think Indigenous people, first and foremost, we are connected to the land. We are the water protectors, we're the land protectors. So we should be guiding how this tool impacts our lands and our resources. And secondly, we can be providing it the data and helping build the structure of it. So we have to get involved with it.
Okay, I had chills when you said AI essentially doesn't even know who we are, right? As you, as an Indigenous person. And that, of course, AI is, it's all based off of data and that you must get involved. I'm wondering if you could talk about a project or how you've used AI in your work.
We don't use AI a ton. Because we're building an AI platform. So the way that we use AI right now is we're fine-tuning it to understand the true history between Indigenous people and Canada right now. And also building up on that is sort of making sure it doesn't know us as a homogenous people. So we're constantly teaching it and seeing what answer it gives and then giving it more information. And then it comes back. And so it's just like we're constantly talking to it and making sure that it can respond ethically and transparently about Indigenous people. I don't mind the idea of it as a collaborator But again, you have to be mindful that it could be giving that same information to other people.
For sure.
If you're using it to brainstorm, I do think it can be really helpful, especially like when you're stuck on something and you need to kind of move like a writer's block almost out of a phase. But I think something that people don't think about is like, you might end up with the exact same idea as three other people who use it for the same thing. I do like utilizing human beings for creative work because you are getting whatever inspiration of their day, of their lives, you know, of their future. They're thinking about things differently. And I love what comes from that. But yeah, I think AI could be used. It can help stimulate your own brain. But I think where we have to be careful is that we don't become too reliant on it, because if you don't use it, you lose it, they say, about your brain.
Mm-hmm. The platform that you're building, is it based off of that? Of, you hit on it, like re-traumatizing, because Indigenous people have to tell these stories over and over again. Can you just tell me a little bit about what this platform will do or is doing?
Yeah, sure. It's called Wasigun Kisawatsawin. So it means kind electricity. And so the elder shared that traditionally when people heard thunder, that meant the thunderbird was coming, that rain would come, cleansing of the earth, you know, sustenance. And it was a loving sound. Mm. And now people think, well, I shouldn't overgeneralize, but lots of people are scared of thunder. It's fearful. And I thought, wow, that's so good, because just what we were talking about, AI is kind of scary, but it could be a really love and kind tool. Mm. And so that's what we're trying to build, is AI with heart. And basically the tool is similar to Grammarly, if folks know what that is, but essentially it's like a plugin that runs in behind, and you, in your writing, it will correct misinformation or bias that you have about Indigenous people.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it could be used by literally any industry. I don't know how many Indigenous people I know that this kind of thing always falls on their desk because they've been identified as Indigenous in their organization.
Exactly.
And therefore they have to read this report or see if this research paper is going to cause any problems, or this press release, or whatever it is. So this is sort of like, it's not going to replace Indigenous people, but it's going to help people get there faster. In this case, we're hoping that this is sort of their first step. You know, they can actually do the work themselves and then bring it to Indigenous people when you're already like 75% of the way there. It's also going to encourage people to ask questions. So like if you're writing something like, oh, we're working with this Indigenous nation in Ontario, it'll say, do you know the name of the nation?
Mm.
You know, rather than overgeneralizing.
Yep.
So like ask the community how they refer to themselves. Those sorts of things is where it's going to push people. Because I don't know, I mean, I'm sure there are Indigenous people who like doing that educating and like telling their story and doing that, but there are literally not enough of us that do. And we can't take that burden on for Canada.
Yes.
And for our organizations. And so if people can use this tool and still hire Indigenous people to sort of support that, but as long as that's their job, you know, like there's so many of us where, you know, we're doing, you know, maybe we're an engineer and then somehow we're also reading all these papers or plans that have nothing to do with the work we're doing because it involves an Indigenous person or Indigenous community. Yeah, I think it's about giving that autonomy and agency back to us about whether or not that's something we want to do. Because a lot of the time people just throw something on your desk and it is about something super traumatic, and people aren't asking you if that's okay or if this is going to impact you. So it's hopefully going to be useful for Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, because Indigenous people can use it it can safely browse the internet without being impacted by hurtful or harmful information.
That's game changing.
Yeah. Going to hopefully also catalog that stuff so you can report it easier, because we don't report anything to police or to the government. And so to have that data, whether we choose to use it, who we choose to submit it to, is another thing.
Yeah.
But it could be even for your community to say, look, this is how many times I've been targeted online for being Indigenous, or this is how many times I've had to view this. Because like as young people, I think about the impact, the truth that there is a suicide epidemic in a lot of nations. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with what young people are seeing written about themselves or who they are, who our people are online.
Yeah.
And so if this tool could be put in place to support people so that they're seeing positive depictions of themselves, seeing, you know, Indigenous professionals, even asking the tool about whatever they want to ask it and getting that validation, I think that's really cool too, a possibility that this tool might promote mental health awareness and some peace of mind and validation for people who are bombarded with negative information about who they are, or even those who are reconnecting.
Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And really, you see that in tech, everything is, you know, speed up, speed up, speed up. And then the thoughtfulness and the lens that you have on how you can use this in a way that really can uplift communities, but also change the conversation and have the proper information around Indigenous cultures and communities out there.
Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. I think especially in this day and age where the government of the day can come in and erase information,
yes,
decide how it's going to be used, this is really important to document the truth. If all this data is good, and it deserves to be right beside each other, yes, not just the colonial data first.
What do you think is a misconception that people have around AI right now?
Oh, gosh.
There's a lot.
So many. Yeah. Even this morning, my daughter was talking about wanting to become a vet. And she's like, I don't know how many years or what the salary be. And I was like, well, Google it. And so she Googles. And now when you Google Gemini is the first answer you get. People assume that that information is correct. So she says to me, oh, well, a vet, you have to go to school for 8 years and you're only going to make anywhere between $60,000 and $70,000 a year. I'm like, what? I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. I was like, what are you looking at? Google Gemini. I was like, so first and foremost, people are not even knowing that that first answer you get in Google is AI. Mm-hmm. And it's actually basing its data off of whatever it can collect. So I think people think whatever AI has is truth. Don't. It's your intern. Mm-hmm. Use it as an intern. I think the other thing is that people will think it is going to, you know, kill you or something. Like it's like sci-fi. And I mean, I can't say for sure if that's true or not, but I think it's a pretty innocent in that you can use it in a really help to make your life easier. You know, are you planning a trip? Mm-hmm. This is a great way to use AI. Like, how do I plan the best trip? Say I have 3 days in Wisconsin, you could use AI to help you pull that together instead of spending hours on Google trying to figure out what you're going to do, what trains to take, what cities to see, which towns to visit. It can really help with a lot of these sort of tasky things.
Yes.
And so I think that's how I would love to see Indigenous communities using it, because we are really typically under-resourced, under capacity. Mm-hmm. So if we're not putting in our cultural or community knowledge in it, but we're saying, help me, how do I structure a report? Or, you know, you have youth who are, you're trying to train how to do social media. How do I put together a social media plan? How do I put together a social media calendar? You know, those sorts of things. It can really be helpful, but always keep in mind that it's giving you data from a white male able-bodied perspective, and it's like talking to, not that young people aren't intelligent and smart, but they're not always wise and have life experience. So just be critical of the information it gives you, because it would be like talking to a young first-year student in your field. They're not there yet, but they have good data, but they don't have all the data.
Oh, I love that you're referring to it like an intern. and the first year student kind of view. I have not heard someone say that before.
I talk about it like I don't know if an elder one day might get mad at me for this, but I talk about it like an Asclepios, because an Asclepios is an elder's helper. And so an Asclepios doesn't do anything without the elder. It's there to support the elder. They learn from the elder. They spend their life with the elder. And then the elder decides when the Asclepios can move on into their next phase as knowledge keeper or whatever that might be. So AI learns from you as you work with it.
Yeah.
It can't be your advisor. It can be your helper, though. And we have to be able to decide as a society when it's ready to move on and become that advisor or trusted source of information. But I would tell you right now, without a doubt, it's not ready. It's like a little baby, and we have to be careful what values and information we give it.
Tell everyone how they can find the work that you're doing.
We have a website, pipiguantataguan.com, and you can also find our AI tool at wasigankisawatsuan.ca, and you can find me on LinkedIn. Pipiguan has Instagram, Facebook,